cliffcentral.com. The Unview, the Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous on cliffcentral.com.
Good morning to you, good morning to you, and good morning to you, Nathan Rowe.
Good morning, Alan. How are you? I am so relaxed. I'm just so chilled because I had a beautiful long weekend in Durban.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, I'm just beaming. I'm beachy.
I was in Cape Town. It's so hot and so dry.
Yeah, and there's no water there.
There's no water.
100 days left of water, and then they're going to become the Karoo.
I am so excited.
Yeah.
What a great show we have today.
Oh, I thought you meant you're excited for Cape Town to become the desert.
No, I'm not excited. We've got a phenomenal show today.
Yes, we do.
So I spent Sunday night at the Fluter Cups.
Lovely.
So
I love a good cupping.
I promise you it was so good. Okay, stop it. Very rude. And we've got Peter Dirk Ace on the show. Andrew Buckland.
What?
Jonathan Rocksmith, no. Paul DeToy, Jenna Galloway, Jennifer Steyn, Mendisa Sondo. We've got, they are the best in South Africa's acting world. They really are.
And they're the winners.
And they're all the winners. We have them all on the show.
Fantastic.
Then Bonnie Tyler was meant to, I went to see her show last night at the Civic Theatre, at the Joburg Theatre. Oh my goodness. Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit dee-dee-dee-dee.
A little bit dee-dee?
Oh, the whole thing was great.
Oh,
she was great. Tyler. 67 years old, and we'll talk about it later. But she's meant to be on the show today, but has asked if we can do it tomorrow. So we're going to play that next week.
Perfect.
Bonnie Tyler.
Do you know her real name?
No.
Her real name is Gaynor Hopkins.
Really?
Yeah.
She's Welsh.
Yes.
She was telling us the story of her life.
Yeah, she's a gainer. Hopkins. Yeah.
She won her first, this is very interesting. She won her first competition. She didn't come first, actually. She came second in Wales in 1969. And she sang River Deep, Mountain High. And she was telling us the story on stage last night. And she was practicing with her brush. 17 years old. She comes second and wins a pound. She won £1.
Oh, wow.
She won a pound. But Tina Turner was one of her biggest fans, and then some years later, Tina Turner did Simply the Best, which she recorded first.
And who did it best, do you think?
She did an outstanding job, but hers was a rock version, eh?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's the magic of Bonnie Tyler.
Yeah.
And then, I need a hero. I'm going up for a hero till the end of the night. So we'll be in for some magic things happening on the show. What's happening with you otherwise? You all good?
Yes.
You prepared a song for us for later?
Well, yeah.
For Bonnie, because Benny was supposed to be with us.
For Bonnie or Gaynor or Shireen Davis or whatever she goes by. I think most
Bonnie,
people know her as Bonnie.
Tyler, yes.
My Bonnie lies over the ocean.
She's a little piece of energy, eh? 67 years old.
Wow.
Little magic. Piece. Magic. Yeah, sure. And sang. Oh, she had. I mean, think about it. I can do anything for love.
What is it about Welsh people, British people? They just don't age. Is it like the gin that they drink? Do they pickle themselves and then they, I don't know, they just don't look old at all, ever.
Well, talking about someone that is forever young and the best in our country, our very first special guest on The Unview with myself, Alan Ford, and Nathan Rowe. Of course, it's The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous. We don't know who's thin, we don't know who's rich, but we definitely know we're fabulous.
We are.
We are fabulous. And he is the winner of the Fluter Cup Lifetime Achievement Award, but he is number one in South Africa. Peter Dirk Ace joins us on the line. Welcome to the show, sir. Are you well?
I am extremely well, considering that I'm 1,000 years old.
Oh, but you're looking great. And I loved the way you did your acceptance speech. It was so clever, because you made a very important point. To be a phenomenal actor or actress in South Africa, the only thing that keeps you going is work. And you need the work. And that's why you weren't there, because you had to work.
I had to work. I was actually sitting at the Mount Nelson Hotel putting on Evita's eyelashes. And it was actually nice to say to everybody, I'd love to be with you. But you know, the reason that we are all in this building as performers is we need to perform. It doesn't help giving each other's awards. We can do that every single day. And it really is nice for the mantelpiece. But we have to feed the cat. We have to feed the cat and the dog. And really, truly, I mean, it's just been such a thrill to have been unemployed since 1975. And that was the last time I was employed. And then the apartheid government said, you may not do your plays. You know, and if somebody says that to me, I think, to hell with it, I am going to do it. So I've been doing it ever since. And yes, you know, Lifetime Achievement achievement is a very important thing, because our greatest achievement as performers is survival. Mm. As long as we can be there and do what we have to do and attract people to come and spend 4 hours of their time with us in the live theater, that is the greatest reward of anything in the world.
They should probably call it the Life Achievement Award. Just the fact that you're still alive is the achievement, like you're saying.
That's true. That's true.
It was so wonderful because they played a clip about your life, and of course I've done an insert on you on for Anna Dinger and a few other TV shows, but I mean, what a career! I mean, when you look back on it, you must go, like, how did this all happen? Because it's exceptional.
Well, you know, one doesn't look back, because if you look back, you trip over a dead body in front of you in the street, so you've got to be very careful where you go. I'm not really somebody for, even before awards, I find them very nice, but in fact, I said to the people at the Fleur de Cup, I said, you know, thank you so much, but don't you have somebody else on the list whose life will be changed by this award? It's a very important award, and some people wait for a whole lifetime before they can get acknowledgement, and so it is very important in some ways, but at the moment, I'm actually doing a show now here in Johannesburg at the Peter Tureen's Theatre Studio at Monte Cassino called The Echo of a Noise. And that is the first time I've ever had the courage to step onto a stage without all those security blankets that all the people remember before. I mean, the eyelashes and the high heels and the Evita character and the P.W. Botha finger and the Jacob Zuma, Shiniwam. I'm just there as me telling the story behind the stories, and that is what you refer to about this career. You know, it's never been a career. It's never been a job. It's been a life. It's been an enjoyment and a very, very careful tiptoe through the minefield. And it's been a very careful tango in front of the firing squad. So one has to be aware of other people all the time.
You know, looking back at your life, one of the biggest roles or the biggest characters in our history, okay, and you saw Madiba talk about it in the clip at the Fleur de Cups, of the work that Evita Poseidon did for South Africa. You know, when you watch that interview that Madiba, and he turned around and he says these things about yourself and obviously Evita, did you ever expect this character to explode as it did?
You know, she was just a character in a chorus line in 1981. It was a small little late night show called Adapt or Die at the Market Theatre. And we did it at 11:15 at night, knowing that the security police were either pissed or in bed with somebody else. And so there was Evita on stage in her rock and our schooner and our hog. And it was illegal in those days for men to wear women's clothing. So that was another little box we could tick. And I mean, I just thought, well, this is a character that I'm performing as an actor, and I'll move on to other characters. But, you know, she came at the right time. I think people wanted something more than just a joke. They wanted to actually see a person celebrating the horrors of separate development as opposed to the horrors of being suffering separate development. There was Evita, who was a nationalist, who was a supporter of the apartheid regime, and every time she praised them, she damned them, because that was the way the satire went. You don't always have to throw a stone. You can actually give somebody a chocolate and squeeze it down their throat and choke them. and I think she has been a wonderful achievement, because here I am now after having done Evita as a character for over 35 years. And frankly, she stands on her own feet. I can walk down the street, I can be myself, and nobody stops me except for an occasional selfie. But Evita exists. I mean, as somebody said, just because she doesn't exist doesn't mean she's not real. No, she is very real. She's now a member of the ANC, let me tell you, and they really deserve her.
Yeah, they're going to have some fun with her. Again, I remember doing a show on Three Talk with you, with Nolene, all those years ago, and Evita was having an affair with Puk Buerta, and Puk Buerta was there with Liz Mayring and Evita, all talking about this apartheid era and the special relationship between Evita and Puk. I mean, it's insane, that character. If I'm not mistaken, I think that Evita's the only man that Madiba ever kissed on the lips. Is that right or wrong?
I can't remember. I don't know if he kissed her on the lips, but he loved Evita. Every time I met him in a dress, he said, "Oh, Evita, you look so beautiful." And I think about the 20th time that I was as Evita at one of his fundraisers and one of his dinners, he always rang, "Bring Evita, bring Evita." And I stood there next to him, glowing as Evita Poseidon. And I said to him very quietly, I said, "President Mandela, every time you see me, I'm dressed as Evita Poseidon." He said, "Don't worry, Peter, I know you're inside."
Well, you've had an incredible career. Thank you for joining us on the line. I wanted to congratulate you and just say that that your work stands for itself and you deserve the award. You really make us very proud to be South African and to be performing.
Well, that's very nice of you, Fanning. Thanks, Alan. I appreciate that.
And on that note, when can people see the show at Peter Tureen's Theatre? When does it? How long does it run for?
It's on now. It's on from today till the 9th of April, Wednesday to Saturday at 8 o'clock and Saturday also at 5 o'clock and Sunday at 3 p.m. Book at CompuTicket and come and share stories that will entrance you. I think the people are very excited by the stories I tell.
Thank you very much. Legend, Peter Dirk Ace, thank you for joining us. Brilliant, eh? Brilliant.
He's so good. I actually wonder what character he would come up with today. Because, you know, today is very, you know, there's everyone's mom is a transgender, you know. So you kind of, you wonder, like, how extreme would he have gone if he had started out today? Like, what would he have been?
But you see, the thing is that Evita was never extreme. You see,
yeah, I suppose, yeah,
Evita is a tanny, very conservative. Yeah. She still can't understand why Moff de Bruin, her son, is living with a man. She can't work it out. She still doesn't come
to the
realization.
There's a lot of people out there that actually still...
She still hasn't realized.
They still don't know that Peter's inside.
Do you know that? The tip? Yeah. And you know what? Can I tell you? Jenny Chris Williams once said to me, if you're going to book Peter Dirk, be very careful. Because you either phone him as Peter Dirk or you phone him Peter Dirk to speak to Evita and then you speak to two separate people. Wow. And that's only the last couple of years is Peter crossing the line. But no, I used to book Evita via Peter Dirk and he can't stand her. He dislikes her terribly. Do you know that? He can't stand her.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, it's a hassle to put
that
on.
No, she doesn't like gays. Oh. She doesn't like, of course, Evita. She doesn't believe in sex. It's not great.
Well, it happens. And
Peter Dirk, when he's in that, in as Peter Dirk, he's doing, he's working with dildos and condoms and HIV and AIDS and sex awareness and health issues around sex.
He's gay.
No, definitely not. He'd go to Sexpo. She most certainly not. Hmm. We're about to get Andrew Buckland. Is he on the line? Well, from one phenomenal actor to another phenomenal actor, and I know he's one of your favourites. On the line here at the Unview is Andrew Buckland, best actor in a stage production, in a drama in some sense. Andrew, thank you for joining us on the show. Andrew? Is Andrew there? Andrew? Let's try it again.
I think he's miming.
One of your favourite actors?
Yes, I actually did one of his plays in high school for my matric final piece. We did The Ugly Nunu, which is about a man's struggle with a Parktown prawn.
Really?
Yeah. And I could really relate because I do have this struggle a lot. I grew up near Parktown.
No, we all had prawns. I know.
Everywhere.
No one understands. Do you know that's twice in my life I've woken up with one on my chest?
Oh, no. No, please, no.
Seriously.
I went to school. Oh. I had one in my shoe for about 45 minutes before I realized.
Oh, no. I can't.
No, they're jumping. They just don't plan. Oh. They just jump and... Oh, no.
We lived in Emerentia, so they were close to Parktown.
Oh, jeepers. That's where they were created in a lab, I think.
In Emerentia and... Oh. Andrew Buckland, have we got him on the line? Okay, so we're battling with Andrew Buckland. Let's get Jonathan Rocksmith on, and we'll get everyone on the line. Paul DeToy joins us, Jenna Galloway, Jennifer Steyn, Mandise Sindel, some of the best in the land. Now bring your guitar.
Fleur de Cups.
Come on, I want us just do a little Bonnie Tyler thing.
Okay, but you have to help me out because there's a lot of overlap.
But let me have a look. All right, let's start. This is for Bonnie Tyler. We'll chat to her tomorrow, and we'll be playing it next week while we're getting people on the line. Let's go. Turn around. Go. All right. Let's go. Come. Let's go.
Lay it down there.
Oh, you need the chords. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. You ready, Alan?
Yeah. Let's go.
Turn arounds.
Okay. Go.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit lonely, and you never come by.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired. Listen to the sound of my tears.
Turn around.
Every now and then.
Oh, it's high.
It's high, eh? Go on.
We need to put some rasp in, I think.
Turn around. Every now and
then. This is not going to hurt.
Yeah. We'll redo this.
Then
turn around.
Bright eyes.
Every now. Oh, it's too high.
It is too high.
too high.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go. We've got to work on that.
We'll do it later.
We've got Bonnie Tyler tomorrow. Yeah. That'll be a pre-recorded.
That was just a little filler. It's advertising.
That's the show.
Some kind of lozenge, I think.
It was really
for early morning singing voice.
We don't do that. But on the line, we've got Jonathan Rocksmith, who can sing anytime, night or day. Jonathan, welcome to the show. Congratulations on Best Supporting Actor in a Musical or Review. Well done.
Thank you so much.
I mean, first and foremost, I was saying mentioning to Nathan, went to go and see you as Pharaoh in Joseph and his amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. You are exceptional, Jonathan. Every role that you get into, it's mind blowing, and it was such an honor for me.
I wouldn't say every role, thank you. But not every role.
Most of them that I see, but you know, you had just won the award, and then I got to see your performance, and it was a really special thing because it's, you know, sometimes awards happen a year later, so you can't reflect on the performance, but it was an unbelievable experience. Again, how many of these awards have you won? You won the last year's the Fleur de Cup, and you won the ladies last year and the year before. How big are the awards for you?
No. I didn't win the Fleur last year. I won in the lady. What year are we in now? I don't know anymore.
2017.
Yeah, in the lady I won last year. Yeah,
and the year before you shared with Brendan Moraine.
No, the year before I won.
So there was no sharing.
Brendan, I think in 2014.
See, it goes on. Yeah. He just keeps winning awards. Are they important, Jonathan? Is it nice to be acknowledged?
No, I don't think there's anything important in terms of real life about an award. But what is amazing about something like a Fleur de Cap or a lady is the industry gets to be recognized by the industry. And for one night, you know, we get to go and celebrate those pieces. Yes, you know, there's always controversy, and even the Tonys have controversy every year, and people are overlooked, or they feel they've been overlooked, or anything like that. But the bottom line is, without an evening like the Naledis or the Fleur de Cups, there wouldn't be a moment where we all get to pause and go, actually, look at the state of our industry, look at the good work we're doing. And that's the most important thing, actually. The winners themselves, doesn't make them special, but it certainly is a wonderful feeling when your peers turn around to you and goes, you know, we feel you're the best that. And it's a wonderful feeling. But it's not why we do this. I have to underline that.
Jonathan, it's also good to see everyone in the industry come together over one night, because you forget that we can all collaborate together. For example, I went to see the Fiesta Awards a couple of weeks ago, and I've already casted two people in an Afrikaans TV lifestyle program. See, but if I'm not exposed to it, you know, and that's also what's wonderful about this, is that we can get to spend some time together, remind each other of what we all do, and get to collaborate.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a bittersweet thing for me, because every time I go and watch Dinner Ladies or the Fleur de Cap, then I go, the biggest problem I have with doing theatre is that you don't get to watch theatre. So you see all these shows and you go, God, I had no idea that that was on. I didn't know that person is now doing a musical, you know, or that person is now doing a play. It's hard for me, because on Sunday when I sat at the Fleurs, I think I knew 35% of what was nominated. The rest of it, I had no idea it was on in the first place. And it's a bit shameful from that aspect. I'm grateful to say I was working. That's why I didn't see. But it's good to be reminded of the state of our art at the moment.
Jonathan, I want to come back to you and your work. Your play out the run of Pharaoh. What is your next production? I know you have your one-man show happening, which is going to be like exceptional. That's happening in the middle of the year. But what else are you up to?
I'm off to New Zealand in 2 weeks to continue with Joseph. We close the show in Cape Town, and that ends the South African leg of the show. But then we close the show properly in Auckland, Wellington, and Christchurch for 6 weeks, going to sort of fly the flag a bit over there. And that'll be really, really nice. I mean, it's their autumn, so it'll be a bit chilly. But other than that, it's going to be nice to take something South African, a South African production over there, where there are huge numbers of expats who are all very homesick. So I think it's going to be a really, very special experience.
Yeah, and it's something that's not just the Springboks, for a change.
Exactly.
It's such a good point. Actually, it's such a good point.
I think that's all we take to New Zealand.
The Springboks, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe
now,
give them
exactly.
Now we're taking Joseph, which is great. Jonathan, and then, yes, you do. You're going to be doing your production, four or five performances at the Teatro in the middle of the year. Tell us about that.
Well, we did From the Footlights in 2015, and it really did impress the Teatro in terms of the people that wanted to see it. So they asked us back, and this time we're not doing it with an 18-piece orchestra. We're doing it with a 45-piece orchestra.
Sure, 45 pieces.
And it's crazy. It's crazy to think that, you know, I'm going to be able to sing my favorite stuff with my favorite people. It's going to be fantastic. And we have some special guests, which we'll be announcing soon. But it was running for four nights, the 30th of June until the 2nd of July. But because sales have literally just gone nuts, we've added a fifth performance now. So it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's how we're going to be doing it. So with the rosary and a Red Bull, I'll be able to do it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's all the magical music from the musicals, and you're going to have some special guests. But we'll interview you closer to the time. Jonathan, you are a star, and thank you for joining us. And more importantly, what advice do you have for young people that are entering this industry?
I steal from Anthony Hopkins, where he says, other people's opinion of me is none of my business. I think it's the most important thing, especially if you're starting out. It's easy to feel that you are not welcome and that you're encroaching on someone else's territory. There's no such thing as territory when it comes to this business. Only good work, as far as I'm concerned.
Jonathan Rocksmith, thank you for joining us. And did you see Joseph?
I haven't. No.
What a miss.
I've never seen it. I've never seen any version of it.
It is outstanding.
The only thing I know about it is the song Close Every Door to Me. And I loved it because it's very Deborah.
I've got to say, tell you one thing. It is, as far as I've ever seen a cast, it's the best looking cast I've ever seen.
Really?
Ever. On stage. The best looking. They are so hot.
But as Anthony Hopkins said,
no, he's not in it.
He doesn't give a fly.
No, they're really hot. Opinion. It is such a hot cast. Those dancers are so good looking.
So they're skinny.
Girls and boys.
Skinny, battling, and fabulous as well, just like us.
I know. Shame. Shame. All right, so we're going to get back to this in a second. Again, Bonnie Tyler, great. So turn around. Where are we now?
Are we singing more?
Let's go this one, and I need you now.
Now you can't hold the lyrics.
This is important. I'm going to try. I haven't warmed up.
Yeah, well.
And I need you now, tonight. Okay, that's what we're on. This is a dedication to Bonnie Tyler as we get our next guest up. We've got Paul Du Toit coming up, Jenna Galloway, Andrew Buckland, Jennifer Stein, lots of people, and Bonnie Tyler's on the show next week. Okay, where are we now? Go.
And I need you now. Oh, I'm in the wrong key.
And I need you more than ever. There we are. And if you only hold me tight, we'll be holding on forever. Oh, sorry.
You keep moving the lyrics and the chords.
I don't have glasses yet.
And we'll only be making it right, cause we'll never be wrong. Together we can take it to the end of the line. What? Your love is like a shadow on me all of the time. I don't know what to do, and I'm always in the dark. We're living in a power gang and giving off sparks. I really need you tonight. Forever's gonna start tonight. Forever's gonna start tonight.
Once a time of fine, I was. Oh, Gareth, come here. Gareth, come here. Gareth. Gareth. Did you hear me singing it?
There's nothing I can do but total eclipse of the heart. Is that Gareth doing backing?
Did you hear how bad he was?
He was amazing. Well, he was about the same as us.
I can't believe he was listening. You know, he was so bad the first time.
Okay. And this time, not so
bad.
Would
you bring this with you when we interview tomorrow? Because we're going to sing it too.
We're going to make you sing it with us. We need to rehearse it properly.
I know, it's really embarrassing.
This is why it's so bad. It's because we're practicing so we can duet with Bonnie tomorrow.
We're trying to do the duet with Bonnie Tyler. On the line. We are trying to get Paul Du Toit, Jenna Galloway. There's lots of people that we have on the show. I'm going to ask you another question. How's the music going? What are you up to?
Me, myself, and I. Oh,
Miss Universe 1974. Obviously, you.
I'm guessing you know because.
I probably
you,
do.
You know all of
Miss Universe 1978 was Margaret Gardner.
Oh, gone. The music is going well. Yeah, very, very good. I'm obviously still obsessed with Walt Disney. I mean, that's why talking to Jonathan Rocksmith was quite exciting for me. Because, I mean, he was Gaston in Beauty and the Beast. Oh, you don't want to fanboy to someone like Jonathan Rocksmith. You know, he's such a huge name. You don't want to be like, Gaston, you're my favorite.
I tell you, it's, but he is great.
Le Fou, I'm afraid I've been thinking. A dangerous pastime, I know. Yeah, it's great. And Beauty and the Beast opened this weekend. I don't know if you knew that. The movie. The live action movie. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's got rave reviews. I'm going to go watch it this week. So next week, I'll tell you all about Beauty and the Beast and the amazing cast. I mean, they've got huge names doing that.
We've got the full lineup of people. We're just battling to see who we can get on the line next. Are they all on voicemails? Everybody. They've still been drinking from the Fleur de Cups.
Probably. I mean, it is sponsored by a fine wine.
Wine, exactly. All right, we're going to try to get to. We've got Andrew Buckland, Paul DeToy, Jenna Galloway, Jennifer Stain. They're all on the line. Let's see who we can get next. Jonathan, now, Bonnie Tyler tomorrow.
Yes.
What do you want to ask her? What do you want to know from her?
I want to ask her why she went with Bonnie Tyler and not Shireen Davis. Sorry, I'm obsessed with people's names. So
because you're Nathan Rowe.
You know, yeah. So, you know, she started out as Gaynor Hopkins, right?
Yes.
So then when she didn't want to be confused with a country singer called Mary Hopkins, so she changed her name to Shireen Davis. And then when she signed onto a record label, they made her choose from a whole bunch of other names. Obviously, Shireen Davis sounded like an old lady at the church fete or something.
Not really. Shireen Davis sounds very like Cape Coloured.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like singing jazz.
Yeah, we can put people in boxes.
Yeah, no, Shireen. It's like Shireen. Shireen Davis.
Yeah, Shireen.
Yeah, it's
yeah, you have to roll that R, though.
Yeah, I mean, she is Welsh, so you could, you know. Yeah.
That's one accent I've never understood. It's kind of Irish, Scottish mixed. I can't even understand them. I was wondering if she still had an accent. You saw her.
Yes, completely.
Really?
Completely, completely.
A little Welsh rabbit there.
It's so thick and so... I know, but she's... I mean, that's thick.
Another thing I would probably ask her is I don't understand how she's managed to release music every year since the late 70s. I find that amazing. And it doesn't look like she's had a break. And she's had some, you know, huge hits in the 80s, obviously. And... and she's also had some disappointments, but she just keeps going every year. You know, she's releasing a song now with a German metal band.
Really?
Yeah, this year. And I'm like, wow, for a 67-year-old lady, that is amazing.
Not bad. We're going to line up a song while we just try and get some of our other special guests. And, of course, my co-host, my little... you're looking hot, sir.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were talking about...
Palesa.
No,
I'm talking about you. You're looking good. You've come down a bit.
Because Palesa.
Are you on diet?
I am on diet.
How's it going?
Not so well. My trip to Durban involved a lot of curry. And you have to have a soft serve ice cream when you go to the beach, in my opinion.
I know. I agree.
I mean, no matter what diet you're on, I think even Banting includes that. It's like...
Of course.
Yeah, low carb, high fat, and an ice cream at the beach.
That's exactly what it's about.
That's the thing, right?
And where'd you go for curry?
Oh, we went to a lovely little place called Cumin. It was recommended to us by this guy called Uncle Roy. Hey, man, just tell him Uncle Roy sent you. He literally said that. So I was like, okay. So we went down to Cumin and we had some curry. I really wanted to go to the Blue Lagoon because apparently it's got revolutionary bunny chows. But I have a bit of a problem with bunny chow. Mm. It's a soggy bread.
You know? Oh, no. I'm with you. It's like dunking bread in coffee.
See, I don't mind dunking, but if it's been sitting for a while and it's really soaked in and the bread is almost like wet toilet paper, it's not something I want to put in my mouth.
Ew. Anyway, but so you had your bunny chow.
And I went microlighting.
You told me about it. Yeah. How did that go?
Microlighting is the most amazing experience.
But you're with somebody. You don't just go by yourself.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know. You just hop on the back.
Mm.
Yeah, and this guy took me. He said he's been doing it for 16 years every day, and he still loves it.
I didn't realize there were so many nice things to do in Durban.
Oh,
I like Durban.
Oh, the tourism is on fleek.
Did you swim in the sea?
Of course I swam in the sea. I saw a manta ray in the sea, which was fantastic.
How did you see that? Did you go down?
It was swimming right there with the people. About
really?
10 meters.
Are you being funny?
No, I promise you.
That is your, I mean, your tattoo is all on the mantra.
I like to think that I attracted them with my tattoo.
I'm not trying to be funny. I think it's very possible you have done that.
Yes. I mean, if you watch my Instagram, well, I summon butterflies, so why not?
But if you have that law of attraction, that's what, seriously, there's an affirmation happening there.
I mean, you're attracted to me. Paleta's blushing because I think she has a little bit of a crush as well.
Palesa, I'm attracted to him. He's blonde and blue-eyed.
Palesa, what about you? Come on, everyone's being honest now.
Come on, Palesa. Come on, Palesa. Tell the truth. You think he's attractive?
I'm just here lining up a song.
Would you snog him?
I'm lining up a song.
I would say no, Palesa, no.
Because you've got a girlfriend.
I have a girlfriend. And that's, we can't
rude,
do this.
And would you not do that?
We can't do this.
I know. Because if you didn't have a girlfriend, because he's dying to kiss me.
I'll say I feel the fire, but no.
Oh my goodness.
We can't.
We're going to have a quick music break and we'll be back with you in a moment with some other special guests joining us to talk about the Fluter Cup, and we just need to get them on the line. I don't know where they are. All right. This is The Unview, The Thin, The Rich and The Fabulous. I'm Alan Ford and Nathan Rowe.
The Unview, The Thin, The Rich and The Fabulous on cliffcentral.com.
After you and I have been talking about hitting on each other and kissing people, it's very rude. I mean, come on, look like we're desperate here. But Durban is a great city, but it's so sad that I see a lot of stuff happens at the Playhouse in Durban, talking about theatre,
yes,
and we don't hear about it.
Really?
It gets missed.
Surely the theatre people hear about it?
I don't think so. Because do you know what's going on in Durban Theatre?
Well, no. But I mean, I don't really know what's going on in the Joburg Theatre either.
See, I know Cape Town and Joburg Theatre backwards, but Durban, they're lucky if you... I'm sure Durban people know, but we don't know.
Yeah, they need to...
Just tell you, Stephen Sned... Sned, yes.
That's not a real name.
That's his real name.
Really? Wow.
They do the most phenomenal. They did Shrek. They did Into the Woods. Incredible Durban stuff.
Wow.
And then they bring it to Joburg, and that's how we find out about
it. So you do hear about it? Or do you only hear about it after the fact?
That's the problem. Or you got to hear about it when they come into Joburg. And the biggest show in Durban happens every single year. It's happening right now, about to start, called The Passion. And it's all on the death of Jesus.
Yes.
It's been going for years.
Saw the Mel Gibson movie.
Similar.
Sure. It's a lot of blood.
There's no Mel Gibson.
Right.
On that note, talking about some of the best actors and actresses at the Fluter Cup, Jenna Galloway really rocked and rolled. Jenna, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks.
And congratulations. What an interesting role. Hedwig and the Angry Inch. I mean, what a strange character. I mean, a magnificent character, but strange, because Hedwig is the whole show, and then there's this character that's kind of helping him with his music in the background, and then all of a sudden the whole show ends with you blowing the whole place apart in terms of your own voice. What a role. Tell us about doing that role.
It was unbelievable. It was amazing and incredibly challenging to play a man, because I'm supposed to be a man, not a woman in drag. So I play Yitzhak, yeah. So that, I think it was amazing to play and difficult, and just kind of, I think that was the whole exciting part of it, is that I spent kind of the whole show in this silent emotional turmoil. And so as an actress, it was incredible. Yes. And then at the end, I got to kind of let it go and just be free and get into drag and sing out, which was awesome.
Is the role always played by a woman, or are you just that diverse?
No, it's always played by a woman.
Okay.
Because of the fact that it's kind of blurring the lines of gender and kind of trying to send the message that you only, no matter who you are and what your preference is, what your sexual preference is, who you love, ultimately all you need is yourself.
Right.
And that everyone is just trying to find love in the world and find their other half. So because Hedwig herself is a drag queen and it's all about her story, they wanted to keep that kind of blurred gender line throughout the whole piece. So then they wanted Yitzhak to be played by a woman.
Wow.
So that's how they wrote it. But the interesting thing is that it is... The whole production is around transgender, around drag to some extent. And then it happens at Gate 69, where it's opened by probably South Africa's next to Vita Bassano, best drag artist, which is Cathay Pacific. So it is quite a, but it's, you know, it was a good experience, Jenna, because I expected to see a drag show, a fun rock drag show. That's what I expected, because I'd never seen Hedwig, obviously, and I'd never seen the movie. So when I walked there, I was crying, eating hummus at the table. I don't know how to describe it, people. I was like, you get what I'm saying? I mean, there are tears that come down your face. And then I went on a date. I took someone on a second date there, by the way.
And he cried into their hummus.
So I was crying. Oh. And he says to me, can you pass the wine? I said, what are you talking about, pass the wine? So it's such an interesting piece. And I'm happy it happened in that venue, because it was a good way to open Gate 69 with such a dramatic piece. And then for you guys to win the Best Actor and Best Actress Awards, and it's only a two-person play.
Wow.
Tells you how that really, really, you know, rocked the industry.
I think it was also a massive risk for Brendan and Gate 69. I mean, because not a lot of people knew Hedwig. Mm. So they took this massive risk on this very controversial piece, kind of just hoping South Africa wasn't going to be totally kind of shocked by the whole thing. And it took off so beautifully. So we couldn't have hoped for anything more. So, I mean, yeah, they took a gamble and it paid off for them, which was amazing.
Jenna, you winning an award like that is quite exceptional, because it's one of those roles that you don't think could take the award. You know, it's quite weird.
But because it's, I know exactly what you mean.
Do you understand what I'm saying? It's, you know, and you're competing with the best with you, and there's this obscure role where you are quiet most of the play. You're just silent. And then there's this rock ending. Again, it shows you how brilliant that the role was and how brilliant your performance was.
Thank you, Alan. I think it's also the way it's written. I mean, you're only really as good as the piece that you're doing, you know? So the work itself is just so fantastic to do. I promise you, I think of everything that I've ever been lucky enough to do in my career, this was by far the pinnacle, and I said the least that I've ever said. I think I say three lines in the whole thing.
Seriously?
So
and Paul doesn't shut up. Paul doesn't keep quiet for once. The whole way he's talking and singing.
Keep it quiet.
And you just sit there. Can I tell you something? I know this sounds, I told you I've never seen the piece. So I thought to myself, why would they put the DJ on the stage? Why aren't they like singing in the sound box? And there, Jenna goes on, wins the Fleur de Cup. Best actress. You only get it at the end, the role and the character. So I want to congratulate you. I think it's great work. What can we expect from you in the next little bit?
Well, I opened actually on Tuesday with another show. It's called Angels on Horseback Reloaded, somewhat different to Hedwig. Mm-hmm. This I am very much playing a girl with everything all out there. So it's a comedy country cabaret that we're doing at Kalk Bay at the moment. So yeah, we've got 2 weeks of that going on, and then we go to the Carcon Car Festival and then Grahamstown. So on to the next thing, which is amazing. Thank God.
It's so interesting, because Peter Dirk, Jonathan has said the same thing. Is that the success of an actor or actress is the work, because you need work. Otherwise, you can't.
Absolutely.
The awards are lovely for the mantelpiece, as Peter Dirk said. Mm. But the acknowledgement of a great actor or an actress is the amount of work that you can pull in. Otherwise, you can't feed yourself or feed your cat.
Exactly,
Or your dog.
Anyway, congratulations. I think you're superb. And please, how can we get to find out the tickets for the performance in Kalk Bay? Where can we go?
You can go to their website, www.kalkbaytheatre, I think, or just Kalk Bay, theatre.com.
I'm going to come and see it. It's great there. It's so easy to get from Musenberg. I'll go and see it this week. Can't wait.
Please, that would be amazing.
It'll be divine.
Yeah, we're going to be down there.
We're down there this week, you and I.
I really want to see Jenna in action. So.
Jenna's hot.
Come and drink some wine and have a little cabaret, country cabaret fun.
We're going to come and see you. Thanks, Jenna.
Awesome. Thank you so much for chatting to me.
Jenna Galloway's Best Actress for Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Brilliant.
Itzik.
There's something to be said about that, though. I mean, the fact that she was silent for the whole play and then kind of came out at the
crazy.
End. I mean, I've always, aren't you always like a little bit attracted to the strong, silent one in the back, that when they do say something, it's so profound?
But that's what I didn't understand. I thought, why is this? I thought, what is Elvis Presley doing on this? Because it's like, you'll see it.
And it was Itzik.
It was Itzik, who does, who gets abused by Hedwig.
Oh, wow.
Abused.
And because of that abuse, is that why your hummus was a little bit saltier than usual?
But the whole thing is about, the piece is about transgender. Have you seen the movie?
I haven't, no.
You must go and get
it. I'm very uncultured, so culture me, Alan.
Nathan Rowe, uncultured, do me a favour. Talking about truly cultured people on many, many levels, Andrew Buckland is a legend.
My favourite.
Another legend. And Andrew, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you, and very much. Thanks for having me on.
Congratulations on your award, and I think it was superb, and your speech was really good, to talk about creating more diversity in the industry. But Jonathan, my co-host, is one of your biggest fans because he played a cockroach.
No, it wasn't a cockroach.
You were a cockroach.
It was an ugly nunu.
Another cockroach, which is the Parktown Pro.
Yes, great play. Thank you, Andrew, for that. It got me a distinction in drama in high school, so thank you.
Excellent. Lads, you know, it's got paying its worth, finally.
Oh, yeah.
Andrew, you look at your career and being an actor and being a person that is, you know, you've done a lot of roles in the theatre world and in the TV world for that matter. How difficult is the industry and to break into it?
I don't think it gets any easier. Certainly in South Africa, it's very difficult to say that there actually is a theatre industry because, you know, all of the producing, most of the producing houses have stopped, creating their own work. So to get funding to create, most of them operate as kind of houses that rent themselves out. Mm. So apart from Fugard, the Baxter, you know, a lot of the time that the major theatres are spending is with other companies coming in. So it's very difficult because I teach at university currently known as Rhodes. And we're teaching theatre and drama students to prepare them. And really our attitude is you need to get as many skills in as many areas as you can so that you go out and actually make an industry. Because at the moment, the way it was in the old days, you train as an actor, you go out and get in a line for an audition, and that's how you start your career. This doesn't work anymore. You do need to be multi-skilled. You need to be able to operate in many different kinds of areas in order to, as you say, feed your cat or whatever you're feeding. Mm-hmm. So
there's Peter Dirk Ace there, not me.
Okay. So it is a precarious kind of existence, as anyone in the industry knows, and going into it. And I don't think it's getting any easier. My experience of television, I haven't done it for many, many years, so I'm not sure how that is. But certainly in theatre, it's hard, but and that's why the only reason that you do it is because you really love it. You can't do anything else.
You won the award Best Performance by Lead Actor in a Play for The Inconvenience of Wings. Tell us about that role.
Yeah.
Playing Paul.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful story that and Laura and Foote and I have been talking about collaborating on work for many, many years. And we started scratching around with ideas. And in the early stages of it, the situation of this relationship, which is troubled by the condition of bipolar and the problem of codependence, which is often a feature of that disease, was sitting very solidly in Laura's mind, and this idea of dependency and addiction as a condition of people's lives. And at the same time, she was reading the Gabriel Garcia Marquez story about a very old man with enormous wings. And the beautiful way in which the metaphor of the one fitted into the other just gave such a chance to really work on. Laura came with a script that she had completed, but she's the kind of director who and writer combination. It's a rare one where she will write, but when she comes to direct her own work, it's like she's someone else has written it. You know, she's so quick to be ready to change, to shift, to take from the creative work that's happening on the floor from the actors. So we were really able to input strongly with the making of the characters. And Paul as a character is married to this extraordinary woman who he is desperately in love with, but she is very seriously ill with bipolar. And his efforts to show her love are not necessarily advantageous because he becomes kind of codependent, and it the whole thing just kind of cycles. The more he tries to help her, the worse it gets. So it's a really beautiful role to play. Plus, the plays are beautifully structured that it's told backwards. So you start at the end of the story, and then the audience watching it, in each scene, the audience learns more about the characters than the characters themselves know, you know? So the audience is watching the characters make decisions and going, oh, God, don't do it. Can't you see what's coming? So the play
but love
ends
is love, eh? I mean, love is love.
Of these.
I mean, love is love. That's the. I've been in a similar situation in my personal life with someone that's got bipolar, and it's fight for the love because you know that's not their fault because they're ill. So it's, you know, but at the end, it doesn't save you. You know, because you, in the end, you're chasing.
Yeah.
Again, yeah. Jennifer Stain is an exceptional actress. She plays Sarah, and she's, we've been trying to get on the line, but she won the Best Actress with you. And you, so Andrew won Best Actor, Jennifer won Best Actress, and then they won Best Director.
Yeah.
There isn't the best place.
Yes.
So you basically cleaned up.
Wow.
But
yeah,
again,
with that sounds good.
It's good to see great work, and it's good to see South Africa thrive. I mean, you could take that play anywhere in the world, and you know that it would work.
I believe so.
Andrew, I want to come back to because you lecture and you teach.
Yes.
Sometimes you realize that even though they, what do you do with a mediocre actor? I mean, it's a horrible question. But let me ask the question, because sometimes, you know, you similar to these people, they think they can sing. They can hold a note, but they're not going to win the voice.
You're asking if someone has people have natural talent, some people don't. Can it be taught?
Can it be taught, number one? Number two is, if they're really not good, what do you do with them? I know that do you encourage them to go back to finance or something? It's a serious question.
I hear you, and it is a serious issue. In a way, this department is particular. Well, I mean, I don't know that it's unique, but it's certainly our attitude is because it's not a complete drama school. You know, it's part of university, so if they're studying drama, it's one of their majors in an arts degree. So they are studying other subjects, and for my money, that's really important. An actor who's just studying to be an actor can get their head stuck up their own ass, if you know what I mean, after a while. But if they are studying politics and psychology, that is going to feed into themselves as a performer. So if a student comes and says, I have this deep passion to be an actor, you say, okay, do the work, you know, do the basic work. And if during those exercises you see that the person, there's not an immediate, like, instinct for it, then my first reaction is to be direct and honest about that. To say that you don't show this talent is not obvious in what you're doing. You can keep working, and maybe one day you can be a working actor that survives, but your idea of sudden stardom...
Yeah.
You can probably put your energy also into studying design or sound management or sound technology or stage management or directing, whatever it is. There's so many other avenues in which you can express some, you can find an avenue for this talent. So I very quickly tried to dispel the sense that Charlize Theron is a common phenomenon for someone to be discovered. Mm. Number one, you need a talent, and number two, you need the understanding of how to work technically and the discipline, the self-discipline, and the sheer guts to drive yourself towards making that talent available through developing technique. So, and that's a long process. You know, I keep saying to them, I'm 63 and I'm still trying to get my voice right. I'm still trying to get my body in a shape that I'd like it to be. So you're on a lifelong journey to try and develop yourself as a human being, you know, as well as an actor.
Andrew, I wanted to ask you about television and theater and kind of the two worlds. I know you've kind of had a foot in both before. You know, like, I think a lot of people are quite lazy in the fact that, you know, television comes to them, you know, in their living room at home, and they can watch it, whereas theatre, you have to go out and experience it. Is there a movement in the theatre world that is kind of trying to tap into that market, tap into the television market in any way? I mean, whether it being doing TV production versions of plays and things like that. Are things like that happening? Are you guys trying to get a piece of the pie, or... is the theatre world, do they not really care about the TV watches?
Yeah, I mean, for my money, the tradition where, you know, you get dressed and go up to the theatre and then watch a show and then go home, or you stay at home and watch TV, that's shifting considerably, you know. The way in which electronic media is being consumed now is also so different that you can be anywhere and be watching it. The difference is that theatre is so specific and precise because it's about the physical presence of the performer and the audience in the same room at the same time.
Yeah.
What's tending to happen these days is that the occasions, the opportunities for performance are shifting away from only the formal theater events that you're having live performance happening in a much wider range of situations, you know, not only in terms of industrial theater or, you know, protest theater or, you know, those kind of engagements that are that deal with or that use theater as a means in order to get people together. But the experience of theater is a much broader one now than just going to the theater and getting it. So in a way, that's what we're trying to develop in students is the understanding that that old school of, you know, relying purely just on the established theaters to house your work is gone. Many more smaller little lounge theaters, two-hander things are springing up everywhere. And it's to try and take advantage of those so that the sort of, I don't know, the elite kind of poncy-ness of going to the theater is eliminated. Right. And it becomes much more a feature of people's lives. And that live interaction with the actor is a much more valued commodity, I suppose.
Yeah. Someone once told me that
rather than bringing technology into the theater, I think it's more about getting the live performance, you know, wider spread.
Right. Yeah. Someone once told me that going to the theater is the ability to see someone mess up in front of you. I mean, there's this anticipation that they could go wrong at any moment, and that's what's so exciting about it. Whereas a film has been edited and there's no mistakes.
Great.
You know?
And it's very interesting. But live TV offers you the same because live TV also the things go wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you know we're live? Penis.
I say to the students that the actor is essentially an acrobat of error, that you are looking for moments where things go wrong or things change, and how you deal with that mistake is much more interesting than the well-rehearsed thing that just fits into the slot, you know? Yeah.
Andrew Buckland, you are you're a leader in the industry, and thank you very much for joining us, and thank you for answering the questions honestly, because I think it is important to discuss these things, that before people just all think they can become Justin Bieber or Charlize Theron, there's a hell of a lot of work that goes into it, congratulations.
And luck,
absolutely. Luck, timing, work, 100%. But the thing is that you have to have the talent. You know, even the luck, if you don't have the talent, then that's, if you're not working with your talent or developing your talent, it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Andrew Buckland, congratulations. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, man.
That was a great interview. You're great.
He's amazing. Sure.
So, really incredible stuff, eh?
You know, I saw him in a production a while back. It was a two-man show, and he did the most amazing thing where he was changing characters on stage, and he became a woman at one stage. And I could not get over the fact that, I mean, you know, when a lot of men act like women, they come across as
men
or putting on kind of a bit of a queen show.
Exactly.
You know? Whereas he didn't put on any funny voice, and just his body language was just so feminine. I was blown away by that. So truly a great actor. Yes.
Which is brilliant. Now we have to do a little bit of a thing. I don't know if I told you this.
You didn't.
But I said to you last week, that we got to play this thing.
Sorry. Mr. Cottage, where is the island of Nabumbu?
Nabumbu?
You ever heard this?
Oh,
you'll learn this next week.
Straight up. You can't miss it. None of my business, of course. But I shouldn't.
Have you seen this movie?
If I were you. Having troubles, they are. Troubles?
He's right, you know. A lot of trouble.
This is a great Disney film.
Well, trouble or not, we should be getting along. I wish to see who is in charge. What's the
Bed Knob.
Have you seen it?
I have. Years ago.
And do you know the song?
I know one song. Portobello Road. Portobello.
Here we go. You have to learn this one.
How pleasant. Bobbing along. Bobbing along on the bottom of the beautiful briny sea. What a chance to get a better peep at the plants and creatures of the deep.
We glance
far below the rolling tide.
Okay, so this is your new project.
This guy was a little bit typecast, hey?
I mean, Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins' dad. Well, not her dad.
He is Mr. Banks. He is Mr. Banks. Yeah.
There we go.
Okay, let me just close it off. But anyway, so that's the new one you've got to learn, just so you know. Because we are very busy on Earth, and of course we love Disney. So.
Yes, and you want me to learn very old,
old,
like stale
when
Disney.
When you wish upon a star.
See, that's kind of still you know,
it's not stale.
No, it's not stale. It's just, you know, it's been in the bread bin a while. There's a little bit of white stuff growing on it.
We've had a great, great show. Peter Dirk Ace, Andrew Buckland, Jonathan Rocksmith, Jenna Galloway, Paul Dutoit, and Jennifer Stein. A couple just didn't arrive.
I feel like I've let you down by not loving.
We've got Jay something next week.
Oh, jump thing.
We've got Bonnie Tyler next week.
Oh,
okay, we've got some more famous things next week. Give me that guitar. Oh. We've got to just try to rehearse the song again. That's all happening next week on The Unview.
Okay, you can't.
Where are we going?
This now.
Okay, wait, hold on. Let's see if we can do this again. Okay.
Okay,
and so, just let me give it a punt. It's happening at the Civic Theatre. She's on tomorrow night, Bonnie Tyler, and on Saturday night. Please go and see it. She was brilliant.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay, let's go.
Got it.
We're going to sing this for her tomorrow.
All right, so you're going to start lower this time. Turn around. Can you do it down there?
Turn around.
There we go. Yeah, it's going to be easier. Trust me. Okay.
Go.
Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming round.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified and then I see that look in your eyes.
Turn around. Bright eyes.
Every now and then I fall apart.
Turn around, bright eyes.
Every now and then I fall apart. And I need you now.
It's really low.
And I need you more than ever.
This is herky.
You only hold me tight. We'll be holding on forever.
Where am I?
And we're only making it right. 'Cause we'll never be wrong. Together we can take it to the end of the line. Your love is like a shadow on me all the time. I don't know what to do and I'm always in the dark. We're living in a powder keg and giving off sparks. I really need you tonight. Forever's gonna start tonight. Forever's gonna start tonight.
Once a time of fun, I was falling in love. But now I'm only falling apart. Nothing I can do, a total eclipse of the heart. And nothing I can do, total eclipse of the heart. Oh, we got to sing this way tomorrow. We need some more practice. Yeah, yeah. We need practice.
One more practice and then we'll.
My name is Alan Ford, Nathan Rowe. This has been The Unview. We hope you enjoyed the show. Of course, we're the thin, the rich, and the
fabulous.
The Unview. The thin, the rich, and the fabulous on cliffcentral.com. Cliffcentral.com.